Back. Good to see each one of you here. Good to have heard the messages thus far. Someone asked me about what message was this I was preaching, or what time frame that I preached two messages or something. I'll get this worked out here in a minute. And I said, no, this is my second one, I think. And if I look, it is. And I came in here walking on my tiptoes, Brother Wayne. I'm down here a little bit now. I'm feeling a little more comfortable, what a people you are. As we begin the song service tonight, I asked Sister Mary for a book, and she says, isn't there some up front there? Well, you ladies fed so good, I couldn't bend over to get that book. Appreciate that. I can't help but thinking, I know the other pastors here are probably thinking about their church where the Lord is planted them and their people tonight. It's Wednesday night, and just thinking about them somewhat as we are enjoying our time here with you, and Brother Wayne thinking about you as he's stepped aside to allow us to preach God's Word, and we just thank him for that. I do, and appreciate it. I know these other pastors do too, and it's just a joy. And I could have already been done if I'd have traded with Brother Author. He said something down there in the fellowship hall when we was eating about trading, and I didn't just push my food aside and trade places, you know. And I mentioned that while going. He says, that hindsight's pretty good, isn't it, you know? But we're going to be in James, over in the book of James. There, and we'll start there in verse 13. But we'll back up just a little bit and just look and see that what we said the other day, James is a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad greetings. But what I wanted to emphasize there is that James knew he was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've heard a message about repentance, and you may have trusted the Lord tonight, and you're starting on a new journey. You got a new person in you if you trusted the Lord. You repented of that sin. The Holy Spirit brought it and convicted you. You're starting on a new journey. We're talking to people that are saved tonight. That's what James wrote to. That's who he's writing to. And so this is for us that are saved tonight. And it doesn't leave, I don't know how to word this for sure, but if you're lost tonight, listen to what we're supposed to be doing, I guess is the way to say it. The saved people are supposed to be doing. And hopefully we'll be encouraged to do that. James said to count it all joy whenever we fall into divers temptations. And count it all joy. That's a hard thing to do. He also said whenever we do, then verse 12 of James, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, whenever he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life. There's a reward for fighting that temptation. There's a reward for determination. There's a reward for putting that effort forth to say, I'm going to be at church. I don't feel real good. I like Brother Fayard. He's not feeling real good, you know, but he came on anyway. He said he can feel bad up here, you know, just like he can in Mississippi or wherever he's at. And sometimes we have to get to that and step out there and say, all right, I don't feel just real good, but I'm going to go to church tonight. You know what usually happens? Is that night that you don't make it is the night that was so special for you, you know. You get a little bit twisted thinking here sometimes, Brother Wayne. You know that the Lord's in charge. He's in charge. But if He saved you and called you, He's given you that determination. He's given you that ability to say, well, I'm going to just go on and endure that little bit of sickness that I have tonight. You know, that little bit of, and it's not a contagious sickness. That's good sense to stay at home whenever you're sick and it's feverish and it might catch somebody else. It's good sense to stay at home, but there's a reward for fighting. Oh, listen, Paul says, I fought a good fight. You know, as we get into verse 13 here, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of the old devil and he be enticed. No, it doesn't say that, does it? No, who's got responsibility here? Who's in charge here? when every man, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Of his own lust. Of his own thinking. Well, I believe I'd rather stay at home tonight and watch XYZ TV, you know, whatever it might be. I really like that program and all. You lusted after it, and whenever it's conceived, you stayed at home and didn't watch it. You didn't because you're here tonight. But somebody else may have done something like that, and you can take this and pass it on and encourage them to, hey, fight. Give it up a little bit. Just go on. Notice he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Y'all, and folks, I think we give the devil a lot of credit that we shouldn't give the devil to. I know he's alive and well. I know he's working, and I know he dangles these things out there and those kind of stuff, you know. This tells me I got some responsibility. This tells me that I've got some, after the Lord saves me and all, and makes me alive and all, I've got to do some fighting. God's not tempting me, it says that I'm doing it to myself down here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And we're going to see some more. David Stewart. It's not the devil, it's not God, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own ungodly thinking. And we kind of don't realize, I guess, we kind of think ungodly thinking is pornography, and all this other stuff that you can think about, drinking, and we kind of think of, folks, it's ungodly, it's lust whenever I want to stay home and watch that TV program. Whenever I want to stay home and say, I just got to relax, I've been working all day, I'm tired, and all. That's lust, and whenever it's conceived, we'll see a little bit later on what it does. But, folks, it's not just the what we classify as sin that we think of, you know. Kind of like what Brother Arthur said about the idols, you know, and stuff in our hearts, you know. Whenever anything that we lust after, anything that it don't have to be what we classify as that big sin, you see. We need to get our thinking down here and get our realizing that, hey, these little things that we don't think about sometimes and we say, well, that's not too bad. I believe I can stay home tonight. They won't ever miss me. Folks, and whether I miss you or not, guess what? God does. Thank you, Brother Wayne. God does. But more than likely, I will. More than likely, Brother Wayne will. More than likely, that person that is normally sitting where close to you, well, what's the matter with so-and-so tonight? You know, what's happened to so-and-so tonight? You're going to be missed because you're not here. Not only are you going to be missed because you're not here, Hebrews chapter 12 is going to kick in. I use that a lot, folks. I remind my folks at home, I remind myself that whenever I sin, there's consequences for it. And if I should be at church on Wednesday night, or if I should be there on Sunday night, Sunday morning, if I should be there at a Bible Institute, we're having it, you know, and I realize you got to work through the week and those kind of things. The Lord knows that too, you see. That's what's so good about it. You can have that peace that these brethren talk about the other night that gave their testimony. What a joy it was to hear those testimonies. And whenever, the Lord knows and you know. That's the great thing about the Holy Spirit has been sent back and guide us and teach us. And I know whenever I'm going against what the Lord has asked me to do, and it's my own doings, isn't it? Pretty much. And whenever that happens, look what happens in verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. I thought about this, you know. I think I'll just stay. And whenever I stay at home, that's the sin. You know. If I don't stay at home, I've lusted about it. I've thought about it. I'm thinking about it and all that. But I fight the fight and I say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to stay home and watch that thing. I haven't sinned yet on that issue, you see. I've fought the fight. It feels good whenever you win too, doesn't it? Worked in Texas there for several years. And they had, in a factory, and they he got up to high as 3,000 in employment and those kind of things. And they'd have a brake cart that come around, you know, and I may step on little toes here, but you need a break from work, you know, you need to have a rest and those kind of things. But this was a union thing, and you took that scheduled break, you know. Here this brake cart would come around with cinnamon rolls on it, coffee and those kind of things, and I was getting to where I couldn't bend over and pull that book out from under the pew then, and I asked, you know, and I determined to lose some of that weight and those kind of things, and the way to lose that was to turn away that donut or that cinnamon roll, you know, and it got to where that I had to have one in the morning and one in the evening. Yeah, it you know, a cup of coffee and one of them. And whenever the Lord convicted me, and I said, all right, I'm going to try to lose some of this weight. I'm going to try to get back and all. And I backed off of them. Whenever that cart went around and I didn't get something, there was just something welled up in me that said, hey, it's good. Whenever you fight a spiritual battle and you win, it's good. It's good. That ought to build that faith up, and that ought to build that courage up. That ought to build. If you're not sinning then, folks, you got some righteousness, and I realize that all the righteousness we have is what God has imputed into us. But we got to exercise some fight here, and whenever we're doing right, it's righteousness. Whenever we're doing right, it's what God wants you to do. It's doing, and He's pleased, and He's got a reward for you. And the ball's not going to get it. They're not going to be no drug addicts bust in and get it. They're not, you know, when that reward that the Lord's got laid up for you is secure. The banker's not going to get it. Nobody else going to get it. It's secure. Whenever sin, whenever you have lust and it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And watch this. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do you realize? If I keep going against what God has called me to do, if I keep going against, and God's called every saved person to do, listen, every saved person has got a calling to do. It's not pastoring, it's not Sunday school teaching. He calls some for those things and those kinds, but every saved person has been called by God, and whenever God saves them, He's got something for you to do. And if I'm not doing it, if you're not doing it, He's not just called me to pastor, folks. He's called me to live for Him wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm at. They ought to be able to look at David Stewart out there in the world, and I realize that they can't just look at me and there's a big glow around me or something like that. But if they're around David Stewart very long out there and he's following the Lord, they're going to see a difference about David Stewart. They're going to be a something about him that stands out and it all. And whenever it's standing out at work or out there in the marketplace or wherever you're at, somebody has been watching you and seeing you and they flow out one of those curse words and they say, excuse my French. They've seen something in you. And they know it's not good to be using God's name in vain or any of those kind of things. And so they see something in you. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing out there, folks, I believe the Lord can take this breath that He's given me just like that. I think about over in Acts where Ananias and Sapphira, you know the story. They plotted and said, We want to be in the group, you know. We want to be there. And this is paraphrased. You'll have to go over there and study it out yourself. But they made this deal up that they sold all their land. They sold all their property. They sold everything they had and was doing like the rest of them and brought it in. And they done this, you know, they worked this out among themselves. And one of them came in first. And then later on the other one came in. Those two folks died that day. I think we're don't think God does that anymore. You say, well, Brother David, have you witnessed? No, I hadn't witnessed it. But if God wants to do it that way, He can do it is what I'm getting at and what I'm telling me. And it bothers me to think that I can go out and sin, you know, and not think that God's going to do it. He is going to do something. I said the other day in the message about that, you know, that if I'm not getting a whipping from the Lord whenever I lust after something and then I do it, it's sin. And if I don't get a whipping from the Lord, I'm not one of His. Just mark it down. It's what he tells us over in Hebrews. And this is not trying to bring down on your salvation or bring any of those kind of things. It's just the fact that that's what the Lord said. So if I'm lusting after something and I complete that lust, I've sinned, and if the Lord don't bring something in my path, I better do some checking up. Now that's something, I don't know what it might be, if for Ananias and Sapphira, and you could get into where they saved and all that kind of stuff, but they dropped dead. And Peter said, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied. And that's what I'm doing. If I'm sinning, I'm lying to God, you know, that I've surrendered all, as that song said. You know, it's serious business. And whenever it's come forth, there is a sin unto death. It says, pray not for it. This ought to scare us. This ought to wake us up to say, Lord, I want to be where you want me at every time the doors are open. And whenever I'm standing in Walmart parking lot or line or where, Lord, I want to be what you'd have me to be. I don't want to fit in with the crowd, but I don't want to think that I have to do something to not, I don't know the word that I'm using, wanting to, I don't want to start a fight in the line. But I want to be able to smile at somebody that's in front of me or behind me, give a witness, maybe hand them a track or something, you know, or just be helpful in some way. And then they'll know that something has changed you. That person in front of me was an ugly person. They slammed the door or whatever. You showed some kindness. They'll say something is wrong. Now watch this next verse and see if it don't get a hold of us also. Do not err, my brethren. Do what? Do not err, my beloved brethren. My beloved brethren. Do not err. That means I do. I can. You know, that means I've got to fight. That means I've got to be reading this word to see, you know, where am I erring? I got to be listening to the one that Jesus sent back to take his place that was going to testify of Jesus and be a comforter and do the work of judgment and those kind of things and all. I've got to, you know, listen to what he's saying. Listen to what he's moving. As has been mentioned, every service that we've had, we've responded in some way. There's been a response from every word that's been preached and every message, and not only every message, every word that's been preached, but in this song service. Brother Fayard talked about praising the Lord this morning. Brother Wayne mentioned about the church that, does the, and gets a little bit out of hand, I guess. I don't know exactly the word, and I don't know, I hadn't been there, and you know, but I've seen some of this praise worship on TV and folks that, you know, but even in the songs and the message, sometimes that hits you. The Holy Spirit takes that song and that hits you, and you've got to respond to that. Always responding to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you can say, praise the Lord, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That song just verified it, and that it just, you know. Oftentimes we get to thinking about all the bad that we are, because we're pretty rotten. Yeah. Isaiah, what did he say about our righteousness? Filthy rags. You know, if the Lord, He makes us white as snow, He cleans our sin up and all those kind of things. But sometimes you do what's right, rejoice in it, you know. Don't get the big head or any of those kind of things, but just thank the Lord I think about old Paul when he said, I fought a good fight. He knew he fought a good fight. You know whenever you fought a good fight. You know when you've not erred. You know whenever you had an opportunity to err, but you said no. You said, thank you, Lord, for giving me that grace. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that power. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me not to say yes to that sin. Because it's only by His power that you was able to say no. Only by you looking to Him that you was able to say no. He says in verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Oh, listen. Every perfect gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's where all the good things come from. And it's good whenever you... Brother Cecil Fayard mentioned this morning about the breakdown in Grenada. It's good whenever God gives you that peace and you're wanting to get home and you're wanting to do this, but God gives you that peace in there. And folks, you'll never know how much that peace at Brother Fayard will have an impact on that lost person that would say, we won't get home till da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he looks back at Brother Cecil, and Brother Cecil is, yeah, I want to be home. I want to do all this thing. But I praise God, he's got a reason for this breakdown. He's got all this. And if the lost man hadn't come along, it would have still been a reason. Still been a reason. But we can tie the lost man in there now because he did come along. You see. We need to realize that all these things that happen and come down and the Lord has saved us, it is good for us. It may not feel good to the flesh, but it is good for us. We're going to learn something from the experience. We're going to grow in some way as God's people. It's going to make us something better and be able to maybe help somebody else. Maybe it's what you needed to help yourself, to say, oh, well, I see the Lord worked that out too, you know. He worked that out, so He'll work the next one out. And you don't try to get in the next one just to see if the Lord's going to work it out. You don't go out there and kick the ox in the ditch, you know, and say, all right, Lord, pull him out. You may wind up in the ditch with the ox. You see, everything that good gift comes from above, comes down from... I wonder as I read that light chair if that's where the Mr. Bush or the president's father, I guess the way I ought to say it, thought about these lights that he mentioned in his presidency, you know. I don't know if that's what he thought or not, but where he come up with these lights. I hope they're asking the Lord for guidance and wisdom up there on that hill. I know I'm praying for that. I know you're praying for it. I know we all are seeing a country that is, folks, whenever we don't know Bush and his murder, whenever we don't know man and man don't make a marriage, woman and woman don't make a marriage, don't make a family at all, our country's in a mess. And we need to keep praying and all those kind of things. And sometimes you read the scriptures and you say, well, I believe I'll just do like Mama used to say, cool. Find me a hole, crawl in, and pull the hole in behind me, you know. That's not what the Lord would have us to do. You know, that's not what He'd have Ezekiel to do or Jeremiah or any of those. And that's not what He'd have you and me do. He says, stay steadfast, keep on preaching, keep on living, keep on teaching. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. He's got grace to give you to get through whatever He's got in mind, you know. Even this mess of America, He's got grace to get us through that. He says, Verse 18 and 19. Of His own will. Oh boy, there's some good stuff in this. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I've got a little old track in here that I'm going to use just a little bit here. Notice there in verse 8, For His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruit of His creature. This little track here says what every young man should know. It's got some good stuff in it. And as you read through this good stuff, and you get to the back of it, He says, make your choice now. And if I read this, and if you read this, these choices on the back of this, there'd be something wrong with me if I checked this. Listen to them. Choice number one, they don't have it numbered. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Number two, I reject the Lord Jesus Christ for my time and eternity. I reject the Lord Jesus Christ for time and eternity. Which one of them am I going to read whenever this gives me a message of doom and gloom and all that, just in my human thinking? How many of us want to stick our hand in a fire? We're going to say, no, we're going to trust the Lord. But if the Holy Spirit has not done a work, it always bothers me over in the Scriptures. I say bothers me. This kind of thing makes me, the person that checks this and they send them some literature and all those kind of things, and I realize God is sovereign and He might be using this to plant a seed and all those kind of things. But it also is a time whenever that person said, well, I said I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. That's all settled and done with. Now, I done what this little track, I checked the right box on it. I'm saved. The Scriptures talks about us making twofold more the child of devil. Now, that gets me to thinking. I like what Brother Arthur said about the publican in the center, in the temple there. Which one went away justified? He didn't have to check, and he wasn't led in a prayer to trust the Lord as his personal Savior and those kind of things. The Holy Spirit worked, and he said, oh, be merciful to me, a sinner. What did the Philippian jailer, whenever he asked, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul and Silas tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they? They didn't say, pray this prayer after me and all this kind of thing. Everything indicates that jailer trusted the Lord, and he followed the Lord in scriptural baptism, and he talked to his whole house, and you see the whole house come to know the Lord. It is, God's in charge, and we need to realize that. And as we hand these tracts out and all, we need to, if you got a good message in there, I guess mark that out, or something, and just let them read it, and hopefully with that marked out, they'd realize I don't have to make a choice right now, or I don't have to make a decision, or I don't have to, it'd be like the publican and sinner in there, if the Holy Spirit convicts them, they're going to, what have I got to do? Brother Wayne mentioned effectual, all God. It'll work, folks. The gospel message, what does it say up here? Of His own will begot He us with the word of truth. Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of His creature. The word of truth is going to work. And I don't understand all the ins and outs and all those kind of things, folks, but I know God is sovereign and He's in tune. And James says, wake up. We have got to be busy. Do not err. Do not err. That means I've got to be listening. I've got to be studying. I've got to be awake. I got to have this fight on my hands, you see. Whenever the Lord saved you and saved me, He didn't change this outside part. I could have ate more tonight, folks. I could have ate more down there. That would have made me bigger. But you see, that the fight was on. The fight is on. Do I eat more? It was good cooking. I hadn't had a bad meal since I've been here. You see, and y'all keep praying for me. I understand I've made it, or maybe not. I don't remember when Brother Arthur got sick. Was it on the first day? It seemed like he was on the first day, and then Brother Dare got sick. I don't know what day he's got sick, but That's been going through my time. That kind of raised me up like this, I'm all, Lord's in charge of all this sickness too, folks. I don't know, we don't any of us like it. It don't feel good and all those kind of things. But God, if we're going to be able to say I fought a good fight, we have to get up and fight. We have to get up and fight. You can't. You have to say no to that other plate of food. You have to say no to that ungodly TV show. You have to say no to those kind of things. And the word of truth is where we get that ability and that power and that grace to say that no. You know why I got in trouble while I was a young man and got off down in Texas and got confused and got back under the preaching of the word and the Lord is working on me. I wasn't in this. That's why I got confused. That's why I got went astray. That's why I was still saved as saved could be, folks. If I'd have died, if I, as I mentioned the other night, went into the Mormon organization or Jehovah's Witness or whatever group, you know, that I got caught up in, the ear caught and like, if I'd have went that route, if the Lord would have allowed me to go that route, I'd have still been saved because He saved me back when I was a young man. He saved me back then. But I'd have been in a group that was ungodly. I'd have been, why? Because I wasn't in this. Because I didn't know error. I didn't have the Word of truth in here. You say, well, God messed up then. No, God didn't mess up. God didn't. He's got it from Genesis to Revelation right here in the King James Version. And if you're going to go to another one, I encourage you to go back. And I realize that you can read these newer versions and those kind of things. But if you're going to decide to get another Bible, get the one that was before the King James. Go, you know, if you understand what I'm saying, there may have been some bad ones before the King James, too, that you don't need to get, probably. But you always, I want to go back to the one, the original. We won't get there until we get to glory, I realize that, probably. But the further, and it's a hard thing, but to stay in here and be able to get that encouragement and to know and to fight and do what we're supposed to do, it's got to be in here. Got to be in here. Got to be in the prayer closet. Got to be, as we read the other night, you got to ask for it. Got to ask for help and those kind of things. Wherefore, my beloved, in verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. Are we hearing? Are we hearing tonight? Oh, I've heard every word you said, and how many times have I thought I heard it? And something else come along to, oh, yeah. I nod my head, shaking, yeah, amen, and all those kind of things. And later on I realized I didn't get it all. You look at the disciples and the apostles and read it. And when did they get it? Whenever the Lord come out of the graves, when they got a bunch of it. I don't know how we can communicate it to us, and it's the Lord's got to open my ears and eyes up to it. That's what it boils down to. And you come back and you say, well, we'll just blame God if I'm not living right now. It won't work. Yeah. He's got it here, and He'll open our eyes and ears up to the truths that we want to need, or that we need at the time that we need them, whenever, you know, He'll do it at that time frame. He's already opened up some to you, so dwell on those, but don't forget about them others there that you're wanting to know about. I've been caught up, and I've met people that was caught up in things so much that they couldn't go forward. They was no good for the Lord because they couldn't understand predestination. They couldn't understand this or that or revelations or whatever. And I told a young man not long ago, I just don't know nothing. He just kept on saying, I just don't know nothing. I just don't know nothing. Been raised up in church. Supposedly saved. And we was talking about religious, spiritual things, you know, and I just don't know nothing. I looked at him, I said, yes, you do. If you're saved, you know something. Forget about the thing that you want the details to. Forget about that a little while. Get back and start thinking and looking at what you do know and watch the Lord grow you to where you can understand what you're wanting to know. You see, it's just, I hope he listened. I hope he heard it. I don't know. I hadn't seen any evidence of it yet, but that's not my problem, you see. That's God's business. He sent the message to the young man, and he's got to respond to it. He's got to do something with it now. I don't have to worry about it. Be slow to, or swift to hear. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Oh, I think about Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, folks. Jesus took them up there. He was partial, wasn't he? Picked out those three guys. Well, why didn't he pick old Judas? Why didn't he pick old Matthew or some of them other? I don't know why he picked those. That's none of my business. And we need to realize that if the pastor calls on so-and-so to do something, don't get all bent out of shape. Praise God that he called on that person to do something and pray for them as they do it. I'm going to have to shut up here, aren't I? But old Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, I wonder how many times it went through his mind after he spoke up, and that just shut the whole show down. Shut it down. Didn't get to hear anything. He wasn't slow to speak, was he? How many times have I been listening to somebody and they were telling me something and my minds are going 100 miles an hour, what am I going to say to them? I need to ask the Lord, Lord, shut this down. This person's got something they're saying to me. I may not agree with it. I may not like what they're saying. I may have all this, well, I'd have done this, wouldn't have done that. Shut up, David, and listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. It might be that David don't need to speak. Might be that David don't need to speak. He needs to hear the message. And then he might need to get on his knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. He might need to go to Brother Wayne or Brother so-and-so, whoever it might be, and say, I was wrong, you know. You realize that if I sin against any one of you tonight, and I go and I pour my heart out to God, I say, Lord, I've sinned against so-and-so tonight. It doesn't do my relationship to you a bit of good. You hear what I'm saying? I need to be going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need grace. I need something, that power to be able to go to sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and ask forgiveness. Say, I'm sorry. And then whenever you get that done, you say, yeah, but they won't forgive me. That don't make no difference. You've done what you're supposed to do. You've done what you're supposed to do. Slow to speak. If we're slow to speak, that'll keep us out of a lot of trouble too. Slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Read many years ago about a preacher that's witnessing to somebody and that's getting on the elevator. That individual, they got on the elevator and individual spit in the preacher's face. Boy, can you just feel the hair standing up on the back of your neck already? Spit in your face? What's the first thing that this old human body wants to do? Smack that person or spit back in that person's face. Slow to wrath. The story went that that preacher pulled out his handkerchief. I'm sure I'm glad I got this one. Wife gets on to me. Y'all's wives don't do that. And Brother Arthur's wife's coming up, I think, isn't she? Brother Arthur, I kind of felt a little bad this week, brethren, because I've had my spouse with me and all. But this handkerchief, it looks pretty good. But if it hadn't, I don't know. I'd probably, you know. But that preacher got his handkerchief out. I don't know if it was clean or not, but if he had a good wife, it was. You know, she made sure that he just wiped that spittle off of his face. Looked that guy in the eye and said, thank you for allowing me to suffer just a little bit what my Savior went through instead of poking him in the face. Slow to wrath. It'll blow their minds, folks. Whenever they badmouth you, whenever they don't want to receive the tract, whenever they don't want to do any of that, and you just smile at them and say, that's okay, I understand, you know, and you walk away. And I realize that sometimes you have to fight. Paul talked about marking, brethren. That gets serious, you see. Whenever a brother or sister just won't, whatever, you know you're on the truth, you know that that you're right and that brother and sister is wrong, you have to do something sometimes. But a lot of times if we're slow to that wrath, the Lord will work things out. And oh, what a difference it'll make. What a help it'll be. What a joy. Whenever it gets over. Notice in verse 20, and we'll be closing here in just a little bit. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of David Stewart does not work the righteousness of God. What does God say? Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. Let him take care of it. It's a hard thing for this old human body to do. It's a hard thing for this old human body to do. Y'all don't know what this is yet. We've been here since Monday evening. We've heard some good messages. We've heard some good singing. We've heard some good testimony. We've had some good medicine. That's what's in that bottle over there to help my wife with that sore foot. If she don't take that medicine out of that bottle and put it in this mouth and it go into the system, it does no good. If I don't take what I've heard this week thus far and put it in this old body, let God do you. God's going to do. But we got ears to hear. We got to apply it, folks. We got to apply it. How do we apply it? Whenever we're out there tomorrow and somebody spits in our face, we remember how the Lord would respond. And we remember that my wrath does not work the righteousness of God. We remember that we've heard about praising the Lord. Can you imagine what it does whenever you're out there and you have a big blowout and you're just praising the Lord because you got a big blowout and, you say, well, that's silly. And you know how you really praise the Lord in it and all? You just get you together, and if you don't know how to change a tire, well, you just get out and you start acting like you know how to change a tire and you start proceeding, and somebody, the Lord will drop somebody by to help you finish changing that tire. And you've just been praising the Lord all the time through it, just going on doing, because that's what you got to do. Thank you, Brother Lane. God bless.